What is up, AfterBuzzers? Netflix's highly anticipated adaptation of A Series of Unfortunate Events is finally here. Does it do the books justice? Will there be a season two? We've got all that and more, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys.
Hey.
What's up? Sorry for that little mumble in, in the beginning. I actually did
right.
It. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
You guys are as excited as we are to talk about A Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix. We all read the books, so if
yes.
You guys read the books, you're probably so excited to talk about this. But before we get started, we will introduce ourselves. I am your host, Miara Jennings, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miara Jennings. That's M-I-A-I-R-A Jennings. And my lovely panel to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ivana, and you can find me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams.
What's up, guys? It's Dakota T. Jones. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
Cool. Got an awesome panel for this season.
Yeah.
I'm
so excited. Yeah,
we're
gonna have so much fun.
It's
so
our childhood dream come true.
I know, right? Well, it's like a second chance of it because
we
had it before in a movie, but we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's just jump in because we have a lot to talk about. So it starts out with this musical title sequence. What did you guys think about that little song that they put together? I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was cool too. It was one of those things where I was like, okay, I like it. It was it's always like that first initial thing whenever like Lemony Snicket comes out, and it's like I'm always wanting to know what's going to build up to that, and so that whole song was just like a great kind of adaptation to get us ready for that.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It definitely. The song, it was funny to me. I don't know why. I thought it would be darker.
Mm-hmm.
So since it was like a musical, I was like, oh, they kind of put a little whimsical twist on it. So,
yeah,
it was pretty
cool.
Sure.
It was definitely something that, like, Count Olaf would have put together and, like, made a big production out of it.
Yeah.
So it was almost like it was from him. Like, he wrote it and was playing it and stuff.
Yeah, it was a great fit.
Yeah, very, very fitting.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally see Lemony Snicket, right?
Yeah.
Which is an exciting moment.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of, first of all, Patrick Warburton as Lemony Snicket? Great job.
Yeah.
His voice
yeah.
is so perfect
yes.
as a narrator. What did you guys think about that?
It was so recognizable, and I was like, oh my God, duh, this is such a great fit. They did a really good job as casting him to narrate the whole series for us, really. And it felt like I was listening to the audio version of the book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I felt like a 12-year-old again.
Yeah. I thought he does an amazing job. I mean, it was one of those things where I'm such a big fan of him, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Krong from Emperor's New Groove. But like, he does such a great job with his voice, and it's almost like it was kind of cool because he's very serious, but he also has that twinge of comedy in there, which keeps it very interesting. I know a lot of the fans were a little disappointed maybe that he doesn't have like the accent, you know, because in the movies it was like he had this accent and was very studious.
Yeah.
But I love the way that they did this, and they can't do everything like the movie, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this is a new series, so I was very happy with the casting of Lemony Snicket.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite characters so far.
He's great for a dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Really good. Really good at pulling you into the story.
Mm-hmm.
Very captivating. So the feel, let's just talk about the look of the town really quick before we get into the plot.
Yeah.
It's very, it's got a whimsical, kind of dark and kind of animated look to it. What did you guys think about that? As opposed to, I guess, just full live action, because a lot of it was computer generated.
Okay, I thought so too, and I was like, I hope that I'm not the only one that's catching up on this, but it seems like it was purposefully like animated some parts of it. Whenever they kind of panned out or zoomed out and they showed more of the city, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was so gray, but yeah, like just the neutrals and just the gray and everything. It just really helped to set the tone to let you know that something bad is about to happen.
I loved that beach scene. Like everything, it was like on the train they were passing by and all the colorful houses, like it did almost look a little animated and fake. It was like CGI, but it was so cool because it was like, oh, like it's this happy world, guess what's getting ready to happen. And then they get off that train and like this briny beach is like the perfect briny beach. I was so obsessed with it, so it was like a contrast. It was like, oh, beautiful, and then boom, like dismal. I was like,
they did a great job of showing like that transition between this happy little family and then things are going to go wrong soon.
Yeah.
So then we are finally introduced to our characters, our three orphans, Violet, Klaus, and Sunny, which I think were cast to a T.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think Violet looked a lot like the Violet in the movie that we saw. Yeah. It was very close casting. I was like, is that your sister? Like,
yeah.
You know? So it was really good. I do think that Violet and Klaus, we were talking about this earlier, that they Violet's supposed to look older, but they both look 12 to me. So she looks a lot younger than I expected her to.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Because, I mean, the whole thing about, I mean, no, I don't want to spoil this for anyone, but at least for on the books, talking about how he has to wait to get the money because she has to be of age.
Yeah.
You know, in the movies, she was a little closer, and in the book, she was a little closer to that age. So then that way, he might be able to get the fortune. But, like, this time, it's like, am I going to have to wait, like, at least, like, eight seasons or so before you
Yeah,
it seems like, I think you're right. It should have been... I think Violet could have been a little bit older, but I think she was probably just so freaking perfect for
the
character.
And she looks perfect for it.
It's like, easy to overlook it. It's like, whatever, she's so good at this.
Yeah, definitely.
She's very great.
So it's not, you know, we definitely don't have a lot of time pass before we get to the gloom of the story. We see that they are sent by their parents to go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know why. Things seem fine. Mm-hmm. And then this strange man, who we find out is Mr. Poe from the bank, shows up to deliver some not so great news.
I know.
Yeah.
Their parents died in a house fire and their world is flipped upside down. And things just go south from there. And so...
He says, like, your parents have perished in a fire.
Yeah.
Like, okay, perished means. And I'm like, they like, know what
oh
it means.
My gosh.
Yeah. Which is really close to, I think, like, that's how the book was written,
exactly.
too.
Yeah.
Like, all these vocab words, which
right.
I remember.
They're
and
teaching
I'm like,
you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning process, reading Lemony Snicket books.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like how it's written like that. It's different than just, like, a normal dialogue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know some of the critiques that I read online were saying, oh, they kind of wish they strayed away from that, but... I like it. I think it sets it apart from other series.
Absolutely. Definitely. And it's for children, so this also helps them to learn words, honestly. So
Yeah, that's true. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I mean, reading these books, some of these things that they were saying was kind of like the first time I was hearing some of these words.
Exactly.
So I was like, oh, okay. And I was going around saying, oh, well... You know, my pet hamster perished in a terrible accident.
Yeah, and
people
just
were
sound
like,
so good.
Like, what? Yeah.
Perished means killed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love how they do that. And I really do love how, so far, well, I mean, we'll get to this at the end, but, like, so far, and on most things, like, it's pretty similar to the books.
Yeah.
And I know for people who are reading books, it's like you have this such high pristine view of a story, and you want to kind of be pretty true to what it is. And so, obviously, they're going to switch things up, as we see, but... It is nice for some of those things that we just remember reading.
Yeah.
It pops up in our mind, like, yes, I remember that, I remember that, I remember that. Mm-hmm. And it's like comforting to know, oh my gosh, this is the story that I know and love.
It's very close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go back to the house. I don't know why. It seems like there should have been some fire department people there.
Oh my gosh, right?
Nevertheless, they go back. And Klaus finds this strange device, which is very cryptic and, you know, he doesn't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we read the book, so whatever, but I'm going to just try to pretend that we don't know everything. So
we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he found that device, were you guys thinking, oh, this is may not be what it seems?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's more to the story than just a house fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. So Mr. Poe that's a point where he tells them, oh, you're going to inherit all this money when Violet comes of age. And right then, I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
People going to be coming for that money.
And here it begins.
Can we just talk about, though, Mr. Poe is, like, the least sympathetic person we've ever met.
He's so detached.
This is true.
So detached.
Oh, my gosh. And as is his whole family.
Oh, my gosh.
Which we'll see.
Yeah.
No, let's talk about the family, because that's next. So, so Mr. Poe takes... you know, the Baudelaire children to stay with him for a while until they go to their permanent guardian or temporary guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And the family is like, does not care about their tragedy whatsoever.
At all.
What do you guys think about the wife that works for the newspaper? She
I
was
loved
pretty
her.
Funny, right?
Yeah, she was very funny because we were just talking about it. Like, this, they said something and she was like, that'll make a great headline.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Have some compassion.
I know. And she's like, oh, you guys are so dismal and like just gloomy. Like, let's like liven it up a little bit. It's like their parents just died.
Oh my God.
I think that's so funny that they, well, I won't say they, Lemony Snicket or Daniel Handler writes in so many of these characters that really don't care about their sorrow.
Yeah.
And it just amplifies it even more. Like, life sucks right now.
Yeah,
for these kids.
Really.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you a little angry, too. Like, dang.
Definitely. So after that, we find out that Count Olaf will be their guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And we are introduced, and this is like probably the most iconic character of this franchise.
Yeah.
So that's where they're headed. They're going to live with Count Olaf, who is a third, fourth removed, whatever cousin that they've never met or heard of.
That lives 3 miles away.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Never even seen before, which is fishy within itself.
Yeah.
So before they get to Olaf's house, they meet Justice Strauss.
Yeah.
I loved her. Yeah. Loved her. The neighbor across the street. What were your first impressions of Justice Strauss?
Like, I honestly, that was one of the characters so far in this first episode. She is like one of my favorite castings of this because for the longest time, and I came to you and I was acting like I knew everything. I was like, just so you know, they cast the same actress as the movie and the TV show. She's like, no, they didn't. And I went back and looked. I'm like, oh. Like, yeah. I thought it was so smart. Yeah. But they just casted her perfectly.
Yeah.
And for those of you who probably recognize and picked up on this, she's the voice of Jessie in Toy Story, which was really cool. But I loved that casting. She's just so fun and like so like quirky. And,
yeah, she really embodies that quirkiness. And I was like, this is a perfect fit. She did really great on that.
Joan Cusack.
Yeah. Yes, she's perfect. And definitely probably the first person who seems to have any sort of sympathy towards children or any sort of interest
that
in how they're doing.
Felt this whole time.
So definitely a good character. Hopefully she sticks around, but you know, with this kind of story, you never know who's going to survive.
Well, we know what happened.
But we're going to say we don't know. So they finally go back across the street to meet this Count Olaf that they've heard so little about. And right off the bat,
just the introduction to when we see that house and like there's a little bluebird that flies up and then the crow like kills it. I'm like, oh God.
Not a pleasant man. No. What do you guys think of Neil Patrick Harris as Count Olaf?
Honestly, he's better than I thought. I didn't have like low expectations. I just didn't know. I guess I didn't know what to expect, but he did great. It's really hard though because in the movie, I think we've all been spoiled by seeing Jim Carrey's version of it, and so he's up against that. But he's doing great.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where I am so obsessed with Jim Carrey. He's like my favorite actor. Yeah. So seeing him as Count Olaf was kind of just like iconic, and everything in the books. He was exactly how I pictured Count Olaf to be. Neil Patrick Harris, though, has kind of created, because he can't, you know, do the same thing that Jim Carrey did. I mean, he has to be his own actor and his own person. So I love the adaptation that he's going with it. And I think I'm really going to love it. It's just I have to get in a few episodes before I'm used to it. Because I'm already thinking, oh, the books and the movie and now the Netflix show. Like, I just have to. I have to have a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a lot to process if you've been following the books and then
watch
the movie.
What do you think? Do you like it?
I do. I thought he did a good job. Yeah. I like that there is a good balance between like the goofiness and the theatrics and then just like this eeriness about him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get more, you know, get a lot deeper into that as we go along.
Yeah.
But it was a nice introduction in this first episode for sure. Mm-hmm. I think he did a good job.
Okay.
Same.
Cool. Yeah. So we see him. He immediately gives the kids all these chores.
He puts them to work immediately.
And what do you guys think? Because they still pretty much have, or at least Violet, she still has an upbeat attitude about things.
She does, yeah.
And it seems like she wants to make the best of the situation, and she is the oldest and most mature, so it's fitting. What do you guys think about her approach to the situation?
She seemed to be still more like upbeat, like she was just looking for, trying to see the bright side on everything, you know, and that's brave right there because they haven't been shown a lot of sympathy and like they're already doing chores and his house is a complete disaster. When we got the home tour, I'm like, this is bad.
This is very bad.
So I think she kind of sets the tone for her brother and Sunny, the little baby too, so that they can have something to look forward to. Like, okay, well, maybe it's not too bad.
Yeah. I think that she's almost like the Cinderella of the story, like really trying to find the bright side. You know, she's doing the chores. She's trying to, you know, just be okay. But my favorite thing was when Count Olaf was like, the rats bite.
I know.
I was like, oh, that's so funny. That bathroom was awful.
It was horrible.
Like, I would have to squat and hover. Like,
right, yeah. Like, how does he live in there? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Ugh, well,
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely not the cleanest man.
No.
But anyway, so they're trying to stay positive about the situation. And Justice Strauss, we see her again. And she brings over some food for the kids, and Count Olaf does not let her in. Nope, red flags.
Yeah, he
don't
blocks
come
her.
In.
What was that plate? It was like the
lamb. Oh,
it was a lamb.
He just picks it up off the plate and was like, bye.
Oh, okay. yeah, trying to be nice, and he shuts it down. He even tells her that the kids are horrible, they're ungrateful, they're complaining.
The loud noise and screaming.
It seems like she kind of believes it at first, but
what
do you guys think?
Yeah. And then he comes back and he's like, oh, they thought the lamb was too salty. They don't want to see you. And her little, she's like, oh, like, I just felt so bad for her because she wants kids. She wants to feel, you know, loved and like, and she wants children. And it's one of those things where she's so married to the law in a sense. Mm-hmm. And she tells Kendall off, well, I can't have book babies. Like,
no.
And it kind of broke my heart. I was like, this is so like sad. The kids would love you as their mother. Yeah. Like, it just was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good because later on they actually go to her house to find a cookbook because Count Olaf has assigned them to be the chefs for the night for his theater group.
Yeah.
His theater troupe. So they go over there, they look through her library, they have a nice little bonding moment. And what's interesting in that moment is that Justice Strauss recognizes something from the little device that Klaus had gotten from the fire. And she starts to look in a book that I believe said the history of a secret or something like that, the history of secrets, which is very telling to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Because we're starting to notice now that there's a lot more that these kids don't know. Did you guys catch that book?
Yes.
Which is, yeah.
And she just kind of like left it halfway, was getting ready to pull it out, and then she stopped.
Yeah.
And it's like, could you only imagine like if she would have pulled it out and started reading it and found out what she was looking for? We might not have like
the
any other episodes because it would be like, okay, like
we
figured
it
out.
We're done.
So seeing that, I was like, she's not going to pull it all the way out the shelf. And she didn't. She left it halfway there and then it just stood there. So that was kind of funny.
It felt like a really warm moment though, because when they were there in her library, it was like a little piece of home for them. It reminded them of home because they love books and they would go stay in, you know, the parents' library for hours. And I don't know, it was just like the looks on their faces and stuff when they walked in there, it was just so touching.
Yeah.
So it didn't last long.
I know it didn't. And she was kind of saying like, oh, like it's modest, it's nothing like what you're used to. And then she's like Violet's like, no, I love
this
it, it's amazing.
Fine.
And
yeah.
And then you kind of see the bonding between the kids and her, and it was kind of like this heartfelt moment that I just knew that I couldn't attach myself to too much. because
we know what happened.
It's like once there's a good moment, you better enjoy it then, because
it's not gonna last long.
So after they have that nice bonding moment, they get back to the house. And we are introduced to Count Olaf's squad.
Ugh,
okay.
God.
What did you guys think about that musical number with
all
those?
The group of failed actors. It was so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I hated it.
I could not stop laughing.
Yeah,
I know. I could not stop laughing. The song was called The Count, right? I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
It was kind of like those, I hate to say it, kind of some of those kind of misfits that run around on Hollywood Boulevard.
And just, like, perform. And just, bless their hearts.
Like, I know it's probably really mean to say, but, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With, like, big theater dreams.
Yeah.
That's all right. We see you guys.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. They're living their dream right there on the staircase.
Yes.
There it is.
That's all they need. So they do the little introduction. And Count Olaf's like, okay, are you going to applaud for me? Like, clearly they're not interested.
Right.
But he's demanding that they are.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It was so funny, though. Like, finally Klaus takes the two brown... But like bags like clunk clunk clunk.
Oh.
That was the best.
Yeah,
clip.
I know.
That was
horrible. Yeah, that was funny. So they get to cooking, and I feel like this was a nice moment too. They're getting things together. They're cleaning up the kitchen, and they're making this nice little pasta dish. But you know, again, the joy
from scratch. Like they're really putting their
their heart and soul. They're very skilled. But yeah, that joy comes to an end pretty quickly when they start serving it, and it seems like you know the troop is enjoying it.
They liked it,
and Count's like, nope. Yeah. Where's roast beef?
Right.
And things took a big turn there, right? Because we see him get really hostile
in that moment. Obviously intoxicated, he had his drink and he kind of stumbled backwards.
Yeah.
And that whole thing, I was just like, do not drop Sunny, please.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God. When he picked
so
Sunny up, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. Because I don't remember, I really don't remember a lot of the details from the book, so this is like good because a lot of the moments are brand new to me.
And then the way he set her back down on that platter,
I'm gonna shove her like a roast beast herself.
That was intense. And then we see he hits Klaus for the first time.
They got into it.
Elevates the situation from bad to just horrible.
Yeah, and Violet just froze in that moment because I'm sure she's never seen him get slapped across his face like that. So everybody was just like, even his actor friends, they knew it was wrong, but of course they weren't going to correct him on it. The whole room just froze.
It was so scary. I mean, that part is very true to like the books. And reading it as a kid, I didn't think much about it. I was like, oh, that's pretty awful. But like thinking back on it now, like seeing how young he is, I was like, that's like child abuse. Like,
it is.
Hardcore.
It's horrible.
Like
yeah.
being drunk and like shoving a baby in the air and almost dropping her and shoving her on a plate and then like slapping a kid.
It was
like, this is like child abuse at its not core. Finest, but, yeah. like, at its core.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah. Like, it got pretty dark, which I really appreciate that because I know it has been kind of advertised as a children's series. Not really, but, like, it appeals to all ages. Mm-hmm. So young adults or adults can appreciate stuff like this because it does get a little darker and it does get a little more intense. Mm-hmm. So I thought that scene was pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was the first point, I think, where they realized this is not going to work. Like, we cannot make the best out of this. I think Klaus even says, this is not better than nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing would be better. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you guys think about that point in the story and just how it affected the Baudelaire orphans' outlook on their situation?
I don't know, because, in the beginning, you know, that's, like I said, Violet was really trying to find the bright side on everything, and that was just the complete opposite. He's like, no, this is not it. This isn't it. We can't find a bright side in any of this. Like, I just got slapped, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got slapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it really sets a tone, I think, so that we find out that, you know, the way that they're going to try to leave and get out because they don't want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. So, anybody who will lend a listening ear, we kind of see that this is where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that they cast Klaus amazing. Lewis Hines is like a perfect adaptation of Klaus, and I think I just thought that the way that he does this and kind of sets the tone and kind of switches it and is like, no, we're not going to be hopeful, like, this is awful, this is dreadful, like, that whole thing was just done perfectly, just how I imagined it being done, and I just love how much they've stayed true so far.
Yeah
they've stayed very true to the characters and the dialogue, which is really cool. Even Sunny, you know, who's played by Presley Smith, little baby Sunny.
Oh,
so
baby.
Cute. Her expressions and everything, the way
her
they
and
edited
those
it.
Teeth.
So cute, right?
That's a dope thing, too. Like, just how, like, her teeth come in handy when she was biting that rock up and the parsley and stuff. And it comes in handy a lot throughout the season, and we'll see. It'll really help to save them in some tough situations.
That was one spot that I thought was a little ridiculous when they had, like, the baby munching on
the
rocks. Like,
yeah.
I was shaking. Like, what is this?
Clearly, this is a puppet baby, but I'm going to take it anyway. Whatever.
Yeah.
But that was funny.
Yeah. I think it's funny that they do that, and they kind of turn her around in those moments instead of, like, doing a
When she was chopping up that parsley,
animated.
They just showed, like, her feet or whatever. The little doll is wiggling. I'm like, okay.
I know. I was like, come
it's
on.
So funny. Yeah, it's just so funny.
It's so ridiculous.
Know? Yeah. So then we cut to, you know, after that tragic moment, we cut to Justice Strauss's house, and she's reading a book on adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh. It warmed my
heart.
Messed
with my heart.
You know? So, obviously, she's really invested in the well-being of these children. Mm-hmm. And do you think this is going to actually come into fruition?
Let me ponder.
Right? I mean, in my heart, I want to say yes, and that she notices the child abuse and she's able to take over for the children.
We all look so solemn right now. We know.
I know. Like, it's really hard to not know, but we're you know.
Joy doesn't last long for those children.
Does not. And that's all right, because, you know, they warn us of this.
Lemony
Snicket says.
He said, watch something else.
This does not end well.
I love how at least he's honest.
So it's not, like, disappointing. We know.
Right. At least we don't go through 13 books and then we're thinking, okay, like, it's going to end up, like, the happiest imaginable, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Snicket told us.
He told us, so we can't get mad.
That's true. Yeah, we were warned from the beginning. And so she's reading that adoption book, and I'm like, yes, there's some hope.
Yeah.
Maybe she will take these kids in, and Count Olaf obviously just wants the money, and hopefully they'll take him down somehow. And then we just pan up back to that secret book. And I love that moment because it's like, don't forget, there's something more coming, there's something more to it, which actually made me fear for her safety. Because anybody who has information like that
anybody
is not
who has
safe.
Anybody who's holding the secrets, literally, they're a target.
They're a target. And it's one of those things where I'm just like, girl, tuck that book back in. Like, if anyone sees that book
or hide it, put it somewhere else.
Like, you're going to get taken out. Like, this is serious business right here.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully she remembers that soon, because it seems like she forgot whatever she was looking for. And that's a nice little moment to transition to the final scene, which was the man and the woman discussing the Baudelaire orphans, and they're in handcuffs. So obviously these people know this family, they know the situation, but we do not know them yet.
Yes we do. Well, I mean, don't you think we have our ideas?
Well, of course we have our theories, but we do not. We haven't been introduced to them formally in this series yet, right?
Not
in this episode.
You know what? I get where you're coming from. Because that was the thing is, like, on IMDb, they're labeled as father and mother. So, like, I mean, and they even said, like, we got to do something about the children. So you're right. Maybe they are kind of, like, giving us false hope. I didn't really think of it in that light. But for me,
you could be right.
I was like,
immediately
oh my gosh.
Parents?
Yeah.
Immediately captive? being held captive.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't think of it like that. That's interesting.
See, I just thought, if they're not telling me, I'm not going to assume quite yet.
Right.
Yeah. But given the context.
Because they said something about, oh, like, you know, our house. Or they said something. Maybe I'm putting words in their mouth, but like. But I was like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I'll definitely have to go back and watch that final scene again.
Right, I'm going
to
watch it.
Because
that
I definitely
again.
Just took it at the surface.
But I could see why you would take it like that. Because, yeah. I mean, I could see them doing that to us. So
it could go either way, guys. Mm-hmm. Either way. Mm-hmm. But that's how the first episode ended. And I really wanted to keep going, but I didn't want to mix up my information.
Yeah, me too. So I thought about it. I'm like, there. I'm going to wait.
Oh, so are we going to make this a thing? Like right now, I was going to ask you guys, are we going to stay true? Like watch, I mean, next week we're going to cover two episodes. Yeah. But are we going to just watch the two episodes at a time and like savor it?
It's going to be hard, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try just for the sake of the after show. Because I don't want to, you know, get into.
Because we'll then we'll be like, oh, well, we already know. And then predictions is going
to
be all.
So let's just try to stay true to it. Okay. I'm sure a lot of you out there have already binged all eight episodes. I don't blame you. Mm-hmm. I would have done the same thing. But stick with us each week. We're going to be talking about two episodes next week. And for now, let's try to do predictions. Okay. If not predictions, we'll do final thoughts.
We'll try for it. Let's see. Oh, snap.
TV. Predictions.
You want to go first, Dakota?
Yes. Okay, so I got all worked up on that last scene. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump on you. I'm like, yes, we do.
Parents. Oh, no.
No, but seriously, I feel like that's the parents.
Yeah.
I feel like that is, and I feel like what they're going to do with us, and it's going to break my heart, they're going to string them on for a few episodes and then somehow kill them off. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be like, oh, we had all this false hope, and then Lemony Snicket's going to come out and be like, I told you guys, this is not the type of show with happy feelings.
Yeah. Right.
I have a feeling that's going to happen 100%.
That's good.
Well, dang, you kind of took mine,
too.
I think we're going to find out piece by piece, kind of like the... I don't know if y'all watch How to Get Away with Murder, but like in each episode, we find out how do we get to the end, like who died or whatever. So I think bit by bit, we'll figure out how these parents perished in the fire. They'll release like little bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. I don't know where else they're going to go with Justice Strauss. Like I said, I really hope that she does get to take custody of these babies, but we don't know. So
yeah.
We'll see. Yep. What do you think?
I'm going to say she does, but it doesn't last long.
I like that.
I'm going to say we're going to get a little more false hope, like Dakota said.
Because Count Olaf comes in and ruins everything.
Right.
Yeah.
We're
going to
get a little more, a little glimpse of hope, and they'll go with her, but then that's going to be shattered.
Yeah.
I like that. They always, I feel like they're going to do that to us. So they're going to get us all excited and give us exactly what we want and then strip it away from us, which makes it so much fun to watch. I don't know why. Like, I love seeing all these unfortunate events.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it was definitely a great end to the episode.
Yes.
Make you anticipate the next one even
so
more.
Excited.
But yeah, we will leave it at that. And let's do a little news and reviews.
Yes.
Since this is a brand new series on Netflix and very talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing, season two is already in the works, which is exciting, right?
I know.
So Daniel Handler, which is the man behind Lemony
Snicket. I didn't know
that.
I thought it was only going to be covered in the whole first series.
First season,
and that was
the
season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they did that because now they can get into more detail from the books. Mm-hmm. I think the first season covers the first four books.
Which is honestly, like, what do you guys think about that? Because for me, it's like, I kind of wish that one season would be one book. I mean, that would be a lot of information to put out there. Maybe two books for one season, but I want to see, like...
the details.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Which is good to note that in comparison to the movie, a lot of people were saying the movie fell short because it was just one production. Mm-hmm. Even though it did cover, I think, the first three or four books, they still didn't have enough time to get into those.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the series has an upper hand.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see the next... I mean, I'm sure the next season won't even be out until next year.
Yeah.
But nevertheless...
That's a long time
to wait. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. That's what Netflix does to us. We have to wait a whole year.
I know. But there's a little glimpse of hope, I guess, because Daniel Handler did say in an interview that he's hoping to get this process sped along because... you know, when you're child actors, you grow so quickly.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so they'll look completely different a year or two from now.
Especially Sunny, because babies grow.
Yeah, and of course they can always get another baby, but, you know, we get attached.
Yeah, we do.
So hopefully we will look out for season two announcement soon, and hopefully season three.
Yes. And then we have Chaim Gartenberg, who's from The Verge, who kind of said Netflix, A Series of Unfortunate Events, gets right what the movie got wrong. And for me, that's like a bold statement.
It is.
I think that the movie for me was such a special thing. Like, I own it, and I like have it on my mantle. Like, oh my. I just love it so much. And like the movie just for me really did it. And the show is doing that as well. But mm-hmm. I just like anytime anyone says anything weird about the movie, I'm like, it's a classic. Like, mm-hmm. are you kidding me? Like, from yeah. what Mean Girls is to some people, like mm-hmm. this movie is what that mm-hmm. is to me. You know, yeah. I just, what do you guys think? Were you like big fans of the movie or?
I was, yeah. And like I said, my all-time favorite character was Jim Carrey's. When Jim Carrey played Count Olaf. So I like the movie. I understand that some people don't like it. Maybe it didn't live up to their expectations, but I enjoyed it mm-hmm. thoroughly.
See, I maybe unpopular opinion. I didn't love the movie. I actually didn't love the movie. I thought it was a little lighter than what I expected based mm-hmm. on reading the books. Mm-hmm. It didn't go as deep and as dark as I wanted it to. Granted, the series is not all that dark either. Mm-hmm. I think the series is a little bit lighter than I still expected. But I think it's doing a little bit better of a job at getting into the details and taking its time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about that one.
Stan. And Sam Wollaston from The Guardian says that it's smart and funny and fun, but, and this might have something to do with me not exactly being the target audience age, I never quite got lost in its world. Which that is very unfortunate because I get lost. Mm-hmm. And when I read the books, when I saw the movie during this series, it's so easy to get lost into it.
I like what you did there. It's very unfortunate.
Oh, hey, I didn't catch that.
You need a light and match next time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know. What do you think? Did you all get into it?
Yeah, I think...
Well, for you, the series more than the movie.
Definitely. And I think there's only so much you can do in one episode anyway.
Yeah.
And granted, he may have been talking about the whole season. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And another point is that the narrator is visible, okay? Mm-hmm. So he pops up mm-hmm. a lot, and it does break the narrative a lot, mm-hmm. which some people may love, some people may be critical of. Mm-hmm. I guess it just depends on your taste. I like it. I think it adds to the story.
I don't mind that when I break the fourth wall.
I think it's cool. But some people do think that it breaks, like, that, you know, when you're suspending your disbelief and you're mm-hmm. trying to get mm-hmm. into the story, and then the narrator pops up. I get his point, but what do you think, Dakota?
I honestly love it, because I think that's a big part of the story. I don't mm-hmm. know if you guys, I mean, reading the books, you almost read it in, like, what you would think Lemony Snicket's voice is, because he always pops in, and it's one of those things where it's kind of like a comforting thing, knowing, oh, this guy's right here telling me the story right now. And most of the time, I do like to just get lost in it and not have to worry about a narrator, mm-hmm. but I love how they incorporated him in there, and then he would just pop up in every scene and just kind of be in the background. Like mm-hmm. that whole thing, I was looking for that, and I was mm-hmm. excited to see mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they did a good job with it, too. But let us know what you guys think. Comment below. Let us know if you like that they're doing multiple seasons mm-hmm. or if you preferred the movie. Mm-hmm. Do you like that they're showing Lemony Snicket a lot? Just let us know, and we'll definitely check out the comments.
Yes.
And we'll leave it at that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week to our after show. Next week, we'll actually be covering episodes 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that.
Jam-packed.
And we will see you guys next time. I am your host, Miara Jennings. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miara Jennings. That's M-I-A-I-R-A Jennings.
And I'm Ivana Williams. You can find me again on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams.
All right. My name is Dakota T. Jones. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
We will see you guys next week.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.